Today, we talk about the fabulous James Bond exhibit called 007 Science, Inventing the World of James Bond, which runs from March 7th, 2024 through October 27th, 2024 at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. We got to go to the press tour, and we're going to report on it right now. Hi, this is Dan.
And Tom.
Of SpyMovieNavigator.com on our show, Cracking the Code of Spy Movies. Your spy movie team bringing you the best coverage of spy movies in the world for almost 5 years. All right, let's get into this great stuff.
I love the way they did the start date. What's the start date?
The exhibit opens to the public on March 007, 2024. And we just want to say we spent over 3 hours at this special showing and were blown away with the quality, variety, and uniqueness of this event.
Yeah, they really did a great job with the layout of this thing, and it just feels really cool when you go in. And if you're a spy movie fan or James Bond fan or just a movie fan in general, you've got to come to Chicago to see the spectacular exhibit. I mean, it's a wonderful time in there, and there's some pretty cool stuff there that we're going to talk about.
Yeah, first of all, the focus is on the science of 007. So there's a lot of attention to detail on the gadgets, the impact that they had on real-world gadgets to come, and the effect that actual gadgets in the real world had on the film version. So, wow, this is a different kind of thing. It hasn't been done anywhere else in the world yet. This is cool. We spoke with Eric Anderson, the project manager of Featured Experience and Special Projects at the museum. He helped orchestrate this exhibit at the Museum of Science and Industry, and he told us what this exhibit is all about. Hey, we're here at the Museum of Science and Industry with Eric, and there's a James Bond exhibit going on here there, Eric? What's going on?
There is. Yeah, we have a great James Bond exhibit focusing on stunts and gadgets. Wow. It's called 007 Science, Inventing the World of James Bond is the name of the exhibition.
Great name. And what is different about this exhibit, and what will people expect when they come here to see this?
So this exhibit focuses on the gadgets and the science behind the gadgets, and the science behind the stunts. So we have some great stunts in the movies, yes. And so we really try to focus on the physics, the science behind that, the creation of those stunts and the gadgets.
Yeah, and how did you come about that? And that hasn't been done ever before, right?
There's been not really been the focus.
There's been Bond motion exhibits and other exhibits and so
we
on.
We really wanted to steer this exhibit into STEM, you know, the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. We really wanted to bring that, which is what our museum is really focused on. And so we really wanted to pull out that from the Bond movies and emphasize that.
And what could you give us an example or two of what people might see here when they come for the exhibit and in relation to your focus here?
So we have some great artifacts, obviously. We have some of the bigger vehicles, the DB5, the DB10. That are all involved in some of the great stunts. We've created some interactives so you can actually recreate the stunts. And play with some parameters of physics to try to see if you'll be successful or not.
Like what would be one example of that?
There was the AMX Hornet did a jump.
Yes.
And so we play with the angle of the ramp as well as the speed of the car. And you play with those sliders in the interactive and determine whether or not you're successful in the actual stunt itself.
Very good. Have you tried it yourself?
I have several times.
Successful?
Several times.
Yeah, very good.
I've also been unsuccessful several times. So we have that one. We also have the Casino Royale stunt, which is the DBS roll. The Guinness Book of World Records, seven rolls in a movie.
Yes.
And then we also highlight the Kagiva motorcycle jump off the cliff, chasing after the airplane.
Yes.
So we do have the Kagiva motorcycle here in the exhibit as well.
That's fantastic. Yeah, we walked around. You've got some tremendous things here. Vehicles, gadgets, all kinds of stuff. I tell you, if anybody is a spy movie fan and a James Bond fan, you got to come down here to the Museum of Science and Industry.
This is definitely a place you want to be.
You have to be here. You have to see this stuff. There's some other details here and other artifacts you have that are not necessarily James Bond, but spy stuff. Mm-hmm. And all of our fans, we're Spy Movie Navigator, they love spy stuff.
And we love spy stuff.
Tell us a little bit about that.
So we realized James Bond is an agent, and so we reached out to the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C. To talk about what other kind of gadgets we can get that are real-life spy CIA gadgets. And we learned a story from them is when these movies came out, the CIA would actually call the Bond producers and say, hey, we have this gadget that we really want. We want for our agents. And the movie makers were like, you know, it's a movie. Right? And so there's definitely a lot of inspiration from the movies that has inspired a lot of the CIA gadgets. And so we tried to highlight some of those and tried to pull some of those into this exhibit.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, it's part of this area as well is talking about some of the gadgets that were in Spy or in the James Bond movies that ended up being used in real life.
In real life.
So we have, like, say, the jetpack and the jet suit, as well as this climbing apparatus.
So that's cool.
Some very, very great stuff.
I know, just as an aside, the underwater breather from Thunderball, right?
Yeah, the rebreather.
How do we get one of those?
Yeah, they're like, we want one. I'm like, that doesn't work.
How long
does
it last underwater? As long as you could hold your breath, I said.
Right. So,
all right.
There's some great stories that came out of the Spy Museum.
Fantastic stuff. Eric, also you have some of the kids that are going to love coming through here too, right? They may be James Bond fans, may not be James, but there's some interactive things for kids to do, and there's some special events here for kids?
There are. Some of the interactives we have are a disguise interactive. So you get an environment and you have to put things on your face, mustaches, glasses, and disguise yourself to that environment. It's really fun. I think it's really playful for kids to use. We have a code breaker interactive. Kids can actually slide and decipher a code that has a special message for Bond. We also have a hang time interactive that allows kids to challenge themselves hanging. You did not?
I tried it.
You have to come back again.
I tried it. I was there. I almost made a second.
Okay. Well, we have 45 seconds. There's a countdown. Whether or not you're able to hang as long as Bond is a challenge. But, you know, it's obviously we have science behind all of this, too. I mean, so I think trying to get it to a level where kids can engage with the science that we have.
Now, this is a huge exhibit. You've got a lot of detail in this exhibit. How long did it take you to put this together?
It was about a year. For the whole exhibit itself. You know, we've been having conversations about this for several months and years prior.
Yes.
So to get it all kind of together, to coalesce together to an exhibit, it's been about a year from start to finish.
Wow. Yeah. And you've had help from Ian Productions, right?
Ian Productions, Ian Fleming Foundation. Primary with all the, and we have the Spy Museum, International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, we have
a lot of artifacts from them. We also have DHL, CDW, Granger, just a lot of great partners. Aston Martin's in there as well.
Oh, that's terrific.
Yeah, there's a lot of great people that we brought in on this project.
Well, it shows because this is an absolutely fabulous exhibit.
Oh, thank you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the exhibition starts, it opens on March 7th, 2024, and it goes through October 27th of 2024.
Fantastic.
So it runs about 6 months. And again, you can check our website out, www.msichicago.org, to get any kind of information. You can buy your tickets and plan your visit.
Thanks, Eric. This has been fantastic. Again, everyone who is down in the Chicago area, and if you're traveling to Chicago, you got to come to the Museum of Science and Industry and see this exhibit. It is fantastic. Thank you, Eric. This has been a pleasure.
This has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, I said the layout was really cool. I mean, this exhibit is done. They've got it in two separate rooms.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is just custom built because this exhibit's never been shown before anywhere in the world like this.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of room to wander around, absorb the enormity of James Bond and the presentation quality of the James Bond artifacts that are on display here. Yeah. It is really, really well done. I mean, oftentimes there's a video screen showing the vehicle in action or the prop in action from one of the movies. So you're standing right next to a vehicle and you see the vehicle from the movie.
That.
It's really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know, because otherwise, if you just saw it and it was like, oh, it's a car, yeah, it's a nice car, or it's a nice motorcycle. But when you get the video right there, it brings you pop into the movie and it's like, this is it. This is the actual whatever it was that they used.
And every display is custom made because this was not done anywhere else before. So they spent a lot of time, as Eric said, over a year preparing for this exhibit. Everything is custom built for this show. Fantastic. All the gadgets and screen used props in the event were on loan from Ian Productions. And there were some items on display from the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, and those were really kind of cool because they weren't the Bond stuff, but they were artifacts that were CIA used devices and stuff. So they were gadgets that were used in the real world for the most part.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool because some of them are similar to what you end up seeing in a movie.
Yeah. But the exhibit is loaded with gadgets and screen use props. And Meg Simmons is the archive director for EN Productions, who's responsible for most of what we see here. She formed the first official James Bond archive back in 1995 with the encouragement of producers Michael G. Wilson and Barbara Broccoli. That's pretty cool. And ever since 1995, she's been involved with the acquisition of missing Bond archive pieces, restoration projects, the 40th, 50th, and 60th anniversary celebrations, events, exhibitions, and publishing projects. She is an amazing woman. And we got to meet and speak with Meg as well here. So this was fantastic. There are so many artifacts that Meg Simmons did such a wonderful job preserving and bringing to the public view here that we're only going to be able to mention a few. Here's our chat with Meg. Then we'll talk about some of the screen-used gadgets and artifacts that are on display. Here's Meg.
Hi, we're with Meg Simmons of EN Productions. And Meg, tell us what you do at EN Productions that makes this exhibit so special here at the Museum of Science and Industry.
Well, I'm the archive director for EON, and they make the James Bond films. So I collect all the leftovers from the films.
The artifacts?
Yes.
A lot of the artifacts we're seeing here are from the movies, and you're
all
responsible.
Of them are.
You're responsible for this. Now, when you're making all these movies, now you got all these props and things that are in the movies. How do you decide what you're going to keep? You can't keep everything, right?
You can't keep everything, but we do try.
Do you?
But we start with the hero props and the hero costumes and the hero vehicles. And we use the term hero to mean one of the principal actors has touched it or wears it or drives it. And that is part of the main action of the story.
Okay.
So you start with the hero props.
Yes.
And then you work your way down to other things that just are visually exciting or have some other background to them.
Yes.
But yeah, it's...
Have you have a favorite prop, a favorite artifact that you've cherished and saved?
My favorite part of the archive, it's very difficult to choose a favorite, but my area that I love the most are the concept drawings. Those you don't see on screen, but it's when the script, the words in the script become visual, and it's the art director or the production designer's vision the first time it becomes more real.
Yes, like...
And that's, I like that process.
Kind of the storyboard concept, where you're visually developing the movie before the filming even starts. Right here.
That's right, and you can see on the samples of storyboards that we have in the exhibition how they even include camera directions sometimes. The storyboard artist will work very closely with the director,
yes.
And it's all laid out there. And the early days in the 60s, we don't have that many storyboards because the filmmaking process was a slower process.
Yes.
The action scenes weren't as fast back in the 60s. And therefore, they would only, it seems to me from the evidence that we have, the only sequences that were storyboarded were an action chase sequence or a model sequence.
Okay.
And that's because those sequences are expensive and you don't want to have to redo them and redo them and redo them. So you have to make sure you've got a good, solid plan.
Yes. And then the magic is that becomes the cinematographer's basically blue book, right? Blue
it
book,
does.
Blueprint.
And as in the early 60s, like I said, they only storyboarded a few different sequences. And then by the time you get to the 90s or the 2002, Die Another Day, virtually the whole film is storyboarded because everything is sped up.
Yes.
And they need to know what they're doing straight away.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of speaking with Roberto Schaefer, who was the cinematographer for, of course, Quantum of Solace, and he was telling us some of the stuff that goes on. And it's a complicated, when people think, oh, well, that's a nice shot, there's a lot that goes into a nice shot.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. All right, are there any artifacts here that, name a couple that you think are kind of special that people should come down and see?
Yeah, I get excited about because I'm so familiar with most of them, and we've done many exhibitions over the last 20 years. So it's the things that I haven't seen before that I get excited about. And we've tracked down the original pager from 1963's From Russia With Love.
Oh, my. No
and it's the first time we've had it on public display.
That's the one.
In the car?
He's with Sylvia Trench.
Wait,
he's
that's
in the,
it.
He's
yeah.
in the Bentley. He's
yeah.
in the Bentley on the river.
And it's,
oh
yes.
My gosh.
And we didn't actually have that in the archive because at the time in 1963, it was such state of the art.
Yeah.
Technology, we were only allowed to borrow it from the company that made it, and then we had to give it back
oh,
after
wow.
filming.
No kidding.
So, and I kind of, it wasn't on my radar until the Smithsonian called me looking for it years ago, and I said, well, why are you interested in it? And they said, we think it's the first time that technology was ever in a feature film. And I went, oh, well, I'm going to track it down.
Yes.
And I found the name of the company in our production files, and I called them, and luckily they still had it.
Oh my gosh.
So in the yeah, so
That's
many years
thrill,
later.
Huh?
And they were quite happy to lend it to this exhibition. So
oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's great. Well, thank you very much, Meg. This is fantastic. You got to come down. Anybody interested in spy movies, anybody interested in James Bond, anybody interested in movies, you got to come down to the Museum of Science and Industry and see this 007 science exhibit. Fantastic. Thanks, Meg.
You're welcome.
She was great. Now let's talk about some of the things that we saw there.
Yeah, right? I loved her. I loved her story about the paging device from Russia With Love. That
yep,
was fantastic.
Absolutely. And we've talked about that device.
She does that kind of stuff. I mean, how fun is that?
Yeah.
All right.
How to find it's like, where,
oh
how do
God.
You do that?
Right.
Which is, so what are some of the things that we're talking about here?
All right, where do we go through some of them? We can't go through all of them because literally there's, I don't know how many dozens and dozens there are there. It's fantastic. All right, hey, pick them out from any James Bond movie. For Your Eyes Only, 1981. What's there? Hey, one of the items there from that is the deep sea underwater helmet that is worn by Bond in For Your Eyes Only. How about that? When they're retrieving the ATAC. Oh, man.
Oh, there were also some gadgets that we've talked about in some of our other episodes.
Absolutely.
And you
They're
see
there.
The gadget there, which is so cool. So like the bionic eyes from No Time to Die or Timothy Dalton's that key fob thing in the Living Daylights where he can whistle at it and it expels gas or it explodes depending on what it's doing, what you're setting it. So that was really cool because we've talked about it. We saw it in the movie and then here it is sitting in this case.
Yeah.
Right in front of us.
Yeah, it's cool. And they have a scale model of Ork Goldfinger's plane that was used for flight sequences. And by the way, the other side of the plane, and one side is all Ork Goldfinger's, on the other side is the U.S. transport plane that was supposed to take Bond to the White House. So they use the same prop. This little plane, maybe it's a foot and a half long for both planes and for the flight sequences. That's there.
And
cool.
That's being smart, too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you only have to show one side.
And I know they had one screen use prop, Tom, that you love. The cello case.
Absolutely love the cello case here. So I'm talking about the cello case from The Living Daylights. It's one of my favorite Bond props because it's a practical thing. It has nothing to do with spying. And it has nothing to do with gadgets. And in the movie, they make this simple cello case become a sled.
For Bond and Carol Malovi.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, yeah,
and
that's cool.
So Chris Corbold, who was the special effects supervisor on many of these Bond movies,
a lot of them,
was involved in the creation of this case. And so you see the case there, and it's like you look at it closely, and wow, there's a little bit of padding there that you wouldn't normally have in a cello case.
We were standing next to the case with Chris.
Yeah. So Timothy and
talking to him.
Yeah. So Timothy and Kara had a little padding underneath them. And then if you look at it, Kara's got her hands to her side when they're going down. Well, she's got little things there she can steer the sled with on the side of the, just little handles there she can grip on. Stuff you wouldn't see in the movie, but it's there in the case.
Very cool.
And you can start really understanding with this very simple device, how they tricked it out to do what it did in the movie.
Yeah. And there's other stuff that we really have paid attention to in movies. For instance, there's Rosa Klebb's shoes. From Russia With Love? Yeah. 1963? Those? Yeah. I have never seen these on display before. These are one of the most well-known James Bond movie gadgets of all time. And there they are, right in front of us, with the blade sticking out of the right shoe. Unbelievable. Rosa Klebb.
That shoe was bigger than I thought it would be because she's not a small, she's not a tall woman.
Yeah. They did look big. Lottie Laney did such an awesome job as Klebb that we actually did a full character spotlight episode on Rosa Klebb and Lottie Laney. Check that one out. But this prop, this alone is worth the admission to go to the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago and see this exhibit.
Yeah, man. That was really cool.
Fantastic.
All right, so then they had, this is a device that's been used twice in the Bond movies. I don't know if it's the same physical device or they did it twice. We first saw it in Thunderball, and then we saw it in Die Another Day. And of course, I'm talking about that underwater rebreather thing where they put it in and they supposedly breathe underwater.
So, Eric talked about that. We talked about that with him.
Yeah, so that one was really, really, really cool. I really liked that one, seeing that again live.
It's there.
It was, that was another thing that was a little bit bigger than I thought it was. So
yeah, it's fantastic.
Yep.
Now, what about the smart blood machine? They had that there too. You remember that one from Spectre. It was a nanotechnology device for tracking and monitoring Bond. And they want to know where the hell he was and what he was doing. I think it also made an appearance in No Time to Die as well, at least the concept of it. But they have the smart blood machine there that injects him with the smart blood. And the chip injector machine too, that they used in Casino Royale, which was a tracking chip too for Bond. They have that there as well. Oh, man.
Yeah, and so, something Meg mentioned was the drawings, right?
Yeah.
And so they've got these drawings, and some of them are fairly large, that are drawings of the gadgets, and then there might be lines on them to say how they're supposed to be used. And so you really can see the detail and the planning that it takes to get these things on screen. And, you know, oftentimes we just take that for granted, but the work and the planning that has to go involved in trying to make something that, you know, like the rebreather, that's not going to really work. Right.
Yeah.
But they make it work with movie magic.
They had those sketches of the Goldfinger.
Yeah. The Aston Martin.
Aston Martin.
Yeah.
And how they were going to fix the gadgets, the inside console with the flip up thing with the buttons. When we were talking to Meg, she mentions that as well, that the concept of these drawings happening before the filming even starts, that creates what you see on the film on paper first. The drawings they had of the Aston Martin from Goldfinger, you could spend 45 minutes looking at those things, really.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, they're fascinating.
Yeah.
And if you remember, we did that episode with Tony Lee Morrell on Hitchcock storyboards.
Yeah.
It's the same concept. It's let's lay it out so we know what we're doing.
Yeah.
And visually, so when it comes on the screen, they knew what they were putting on the screen. So that was really cool.
Yeah, fantastic. And of course, Q's got his robot dog there, the Snooper from A View to a Kill, that they kind of kept an eye on us when we were looking at it. Yeah, how about the space laser gun from Moonraker? Yeah, there's one of them there as well. And one of our craziest gadgets, the Polaroid camera from License to Kill, Pam Bouvier, remember? You know, Q shows up in Bond's hotel room. He's got a bag full of gadgets for him and the clock and all that kind of stuff. Well, one of them is this Polaroid camera that shoots a laser out, and that's there. And so that was kind of cool.
I thought the one they had there was the Polaroid that did the X-rays, because they have the picture of the X-ray right there.
Well, I mean, it shoots the laser, but it also took an X-ray picture.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I have no idea why it took X-ray pictures. I mean,
yeah, but the cool thing is they don't just have the camera there. They've got the X-ray picture.
Yeah, they got the X-ray picture. They got a picture of Pam Bouvier. Of course, that was Carrie Lowell, who was fantastic in that movie, especially in the purple dress. And
that purple dress. Yikes. But now, so we're talking here, you know, we've talked about some of the gadgets. Again, we're not going through all of them here.
No, we can't.
That there was a lot of stuff to see.
Yeah.
And so you think about the gadgets and all of this stuff they did about this. And we heard Meg Simmons talk about this stuff. Then we move from the gadgets to the vehicles.
Oh, yeah, they had some vehicles there as well.
And we kind of mentioned that already, that there were vehicles, and, you know, there were some pretty darn impressive ones there.
Yeah.
Many of these vehicles were on loan to the museum from the Ian Fleming Foundation.
Yep. You know,
they find, restore, and loan out these vehicles for exhibition.
Yep.
So, Dan, why don't you tell us a little bit about some of the vehicles that were there?
Yeah, I kind of remember the Aston Martin DB5 from GoldenEye. Oh man, that was fantastic. I think I saw that same car, I believe, at the Spyscape Museum in New York City a few years ago. This is a beautiful car, and you could see it up close here. It's
yeah, and
fantastic.
This is the car he's in when he's in the chase, when Anatop is driving the Ferrari. And it's a great scene. And they show the scene behind the scenes, you know, on the wall behind the car. Yeah. So you can place it, which is really neat. Yeah, I just love when they do that.
Yeah, that car's there. That's just one. Yeah, how about the Ski-Doo MXZ REV 800 that was used in Die Another Day? This is another cool vehicle. Remember that one? They got that. And, you probably have seen in maybe The Spy Who Loved Me, the Lotus Esprit.
Love that car.
Oh, yeah. 1977. Yeah, that's there. And Tom and I, we went to Sardinia, Italy, and we visited all of the filming locations for the Lotus chase scene in The Spy Who Loved Me on the island of Sardinia. They've got the Lotus Esprit there. Oh, my God. It's fantastic. Now, there were several versions of the Lotus Esprit. This is one of the ones that appeared in the movie, and it's here at the event.
Yeah, unfortunately, they didn't let us take it over to the Shedd Aquarium to see if we could go underwater with it.
Yeah, right.
Now, one thing that I thought was really cool, too, with the way they did these vehicles, and something that just totally blew me away, is we're at the Museum of Science and Industry, and there's this lobby area in front of one of the rooms where they've got this huge old steam engine locomotive.
Yeah.
And then they've got airplanes and stuff hanging up and some modern stuff.
Yeah.
And then they've got a couple of these Bond things, like they had the underwater sleds from Thunderball.
Yeah, that's a cool,
right
that's
there
cool.
next to this. So you've got this really old steam engine thing, and then you've got this really sleek looking thing.
Yeah.
To lead you into the exhibit. So I the layout was just really, really well done.
Yeah, they did a great job. And again, like we said, everything was custom. And
oh,
what
and
else
Dan,
they got
your
there,
favorite your favorite green car's there.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh yeah. Zhao's green Jaguar, the one from Iceland and Die Another Day, that chase with a machine gun mounted on the rear deck. Ah yeah. That's there. That's there.
And you've sat in that car, not here at the museum, but you've sat at that car.
I have sat there. Yeah, you can't touch the stuff at the museum. But we were able to sit in that car because that's part of the Ian Fleming Foundation stable of vehicles that they loan out. So that was cool. What else they got?
They did have another one that another vehicle that I know you absolutely love, which is the Aston Martin V8 that was used in The Living Daylights.
Yeah, fantastic. Timothy Dalton's Bond.
Yeah, I mean, it is in pristine shape, and it really is a special Bond vehicle. So it's really cool to see that thing.
Yeah. How about a Q-boat? They got any of those there? Yeah! We got a Q-boat, too, from The World Is Not Enough, 1999. This was an actual working model. So this is one you're seeing that's shooting all over the place in the water. This is at the exhibit. Q-boat.
And the cool thing is, Dan, we talked about these cars, some of these being in pristine shape, the green Jaguar, the Aston Martins there. They also have some cars that aren't in great shape.
Yeah.
Because
right.
when
They're
you shoot a movie
yeah.
and you have a car getting a crash, the car doesn't look so good. And it's neat to see that as well. And also sometimes they add effects to the cars when they're filming them that they didn't actually sustain.
Yep.
They'll add stuff to it. And again, this stuff is there. It is
there's
just
a couple of them there, and we'll save some of those for surprises for you. Yeah, but there's a couple of them there that it's like, oh yeah, I kind of remember that. The door getting torn off. Good stuff. Excellent. The last one we'll talk about that we liked that they had there was the wet bike. Of course, that was the prototype wet bike used by Roger Moore's Bond to get to Stromberg's underwater lair in The Spy Who Loved Me, 1977. Yeah.
Another great Bond vehicle.
Yeah.
And so, again, there's gadgets and there's vehicles and there's some more stuff there too. But Eric talked about they wanted to focus on STEM. There's some interactive elements here, which are fun.
Yeah. What's STEM again, Tom?
Is it science, technology, engineering, and math? Right. And so it's really, the exhibit is called 007 Science, Inventing the World of James Bond. So they want you to know about how some of this stuff works as well. So there's really cool things. And one of them was an interesting one for you and me, Dan.
Yeah.
So Bond has to hang, you know, hang sometimes from various things. And in one of the movies, he hangs for 45 seconds off of an I-beam. So they have two different I-beams here in this one exhibit that are at different heights. Because, again, they want to make sure that, you know, kids can do this. And I would bet the kids do a better job on this than you and I did. But there's a timer there. You hit a button, the timer starts counting down from 45 seconds, which is how long Bond has to hang. And you try to hold yourself up in the air off of this I-beam with not great gripping.
Yeah.
I think I lasted, what, half a second, Dan?
Maybe half a second.
You might have been three.
That may have been a second or so, but it was hard.
Yeah,
it was fun. It was fun trying. We took a couple of pictures of us.
A kid would do much better on that and have fun doing it.
Yeah, it was a struggle.
Yeah, and there were other interactive elements with touchscreen stuff. You know, you could design disguises. There was how to do deciphering. I mean, it's an educational thing. And those things are definitely geared towards the kids, especially with the level, the height level they've got them. Very, very cool.
Yeah, very cool. Like we mentioned before, Chris Korbold was there at this press event. And, he's the special effects guy. He's got a history of special effects, like almost 15 Bond movies, I think, including, you know, all of the record stuff, right? The record explosion, record biggest explosion, Inspector, I believe, the seven tumbles of the Aston Martin in Casino Royale. Yeah, he was there. We were talking to him. We spent 20 minutes with Chris. We'll have a separate podcast with Chris.
That was amazing.
He was just absolutely stunning to talk to. Great guy, a gentleman. And
I would love to just sit in a bar for about 5 hours with him just chatting.
Oh, my God.
Because the stuff he could talk about was just blows your mind.
He's worked on what? Batman and other movies. I mean,
Batman, Star Wars, Inception.
Tons of movies.
He won the Academy Award for Inception, mainly because of the hallway scene.
Yeah.
And, you know,
nominated for a bunch of stuff too.
Yeah. His design team was there. He also was an OBE in England. So, you know, that's a very high honor. And so it's really cool. Really cool guy. Very down to earth.
Yeah. I mean, so we'll wrap this up, really. Simply, this group at the Museum of Science and Industry here in Chicago have worked on this exhibit for over a year, bringing together these vehicles, the artifacts, and more, and the key people and organizations, all of that they brought together to make this aggressive and sophisticated exhibit a reality. So all of us can go see these magnificent items all in one place. Fantastic. I thought it was a comfortable and fun exhibit in these two large rooms, like you mentioned, that you can spend all the time you have enjoying and discovering with each of these supremely detailed displays. You'll learn a lot.
You don't want to give yourself 10 minutes to see this exhibit.
No.
The museum is large with other stuff as well.
Yep.
And this is a special exhibit. It's a separate ticket you've got to get in there.
Yep.
And don't shortchange yourself on the time, because there's a lot to see in this exhibit.
Yeah, we absolutely love this exhibit. Congratulations to the Museum of Science and Industry for conceiving the concept, along with the tremendous team with Ian Productions, the Ian Fleming Foundation, and the International Spy Museum in Washington, D.C.
Dan, where is this place located? Where is the Museum of Science and Industry?
The Museum of Science and Industry is south on Lakeshore Drive in Chicago. So if you go to 5700 South DuSable, which is Lakeshore Drive, it's there. It's a huge museum with tons of stuff there to see. So you could easily spend an entire day on this exhibit and a few other things that they have at this museum, because it's loaded with stuff.
And the URL for this, if you want to go check out their website and they've got information about this exhibit.
You can buy tickets too.
Yeah, is msichicago.org. They are doing evening events, so there's some evening times you can book for.
Which is cool.
If you want to go there in the evening, you've got to buy those tickets in advance.
Yep.
If you're in town for a business trip and you're a Bond fan, if you're in Chicago and you want to check it out, make sure that you've gone out to the website to see, are they doing an evening event that day? And if so, can you get a ticket for it?
Yeah, this is a must-see event. If you're in Chicago or coming to Chicago and you're a fan, a Bond fan especially, a movie fan, spy fan, you got to go to this exhibit.
Or if you're a Bond fan and just want to come to Chicago, you haven't booked a ticket yet to come to Chicago, you're like, I finally have my excuse.
There you go. All right. That's fantastic. That's a wrap of this enlightening visit to the 007 Science Inventing the World of James Bond at the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago. Check out the details, as Tom mentioned, at msichicago.org. All right, this has been Dan.
And Tom.
Of SpyMovieNavigator.com and our show, Cracking the Code of Spy Movies. Subscribe to our show through your favorite podcast app and to our YouTube channel as well. Lots of fun stuff there. Thanks for listening. We appreciate you spending time with us. Thanks.